This is the Steve Cochran Show.
But you were supposed to get me a refund.
You can't get a refund. Your warranty expired 2 years ago.
So we're going to make the post office pay for my new stereo now?
It's a write-off for them.
How is it a write-off?
They just write it off.
Write it off what?
Jerry, all these big companies, they write off everything.
You don't even know what a write-off is.
Do you?
No, I don't.
But they do. And they're the ones writing it off.
Kramer, were you a tax man? Lewis Sands, nice enough to take a break from pulling his hair out during tax season and joining us here in studio. How have you been?
I've been great. Thanks for having me back.
Sure. What's the name of the company?
Sikich LLP, headquartered out of Naperville, Illinois.
And is it personal and business taxes?
Without a doubt. Accounting services, investment technology, advisory, everything that a public accounting firm does, and more.
With the IRS being understaffed, does that make it harder or easier or no effect on you guys?
Mostly no effect. Okay. And if there's any harder, how about all of the above? Yeah. Because they're understaffed, which means that there are newer and newer employees that perhaps aren't as well trained. So to the extent that you are involved in an audit, a lot of times there's some education of the person sitting across the table from you. That's the bad side. The good side is that when there's fewer people, fewer than 1% of all people are audited. And then of that number, less than 1% make under $500,000. So the number of audits that are full blown are very small because of the reduction in work.
Yeah, and there's supposedly less of them than ever because they're not staffed up now. Having said that, if you're thinking about cheating, this is not a green light. And this, you went through this. You went through the audit.
I did. I went through an audit, and I think she was quite surprised too, because when I came in, I save everything, receipts and whatnot, because I was itemizing then, and I walked in with a box. So I guess my question to you is, are you still supposed to do that? Should you save your receipts? How long for? What do you save? Do you save everything?
Is it 7 years? Is that the magic number?
I would say that 7 years is probably more than enough, to be honest with you.
Five for sure.
Five. Well, the statute of limitations is 3 years. Oh, so wow. So I guess in April 15th here, the 2013 return.
Time for a new paper shredder.
Can be shredded. But to answer your question, if you walk in any, if they're understaffed, any IRS agent has more than your case on her workload. And for everybody like you that comes in with, you know, all this support, right, you're making her job very easy in terms of supporting. There's 10 other people that don't have a clue where it is. They got rid of it. They can't support it. And that's even if they were telling, you know, if you're telling the truth, right, best case scenario.
Right. I still had to pay too, by the way.
Well, I mean, that's always, you know.
I think we split the difference is what happened.
And again.
Do you ever have people get audited where they go, okay, our fault, we're the IRS, we're sorry, here's $100 for your trouble. Usually question. If you get audited, you're probably going to pay a little extra for something.
Well,
they're going to find something, aren't they?
A lot of times they are, but more than anything, it's to answer your question, an audit will oftentimes result in a no change letter, which basically means we didn't find anything. Okay. Because an audit, even if it's a full-blown audit, will be limited to one thing. Maybe they're looking at your medical expenses. Maybe they're looking at your racehorse or whatever it is.
Sure.
And if they come in and someone like yourself that has all their support and all their examples, they don't have – even in that case, though – you know, I always say an audit, it's just proving what you did. So if you're telling the truth, it's more than anything, it's just an inconvenience. It's still an inconvenience. And then, of course, they have to pay someone like us to actually defend it. So Worst case scenario, even if you get a no change, it does cost you money. But it's a tax deduction on the back end.
All right. The 18th this year is the extended couple of days for a couple of reasons. Mm-hmm. Just know it's the 18th. Mm-hmm. If you're going to file an extension, let's say like me.
Okay.
What do you have to do by the 18th?
By the 18th, and it's the 18th, everyone thinks 4/15, right? That's a Saturday, so then the Monday is the 17th. It's a Washington, D.C. holiday. It's Emancipation Day. Which kicks it to Tuesday. You can, as long as you have your extension filed by midnight on Tuesday, you have until October 15th, unless that falls on a Saturday. I don't know off the top of my
head. But you do have to pay what you owe?
It's an extension of time to file, not an extension of time to pay.
The obvious question is, if you itemize, you don't know what you owe. So you do your best to estimate it?
Your best estimate. And then typically, if you're making estimates and you make estimates throughout the course of the year, the only thing, your 2016 liability is not the only thing due on April 18th. Your first quarter estimate for 2017 is also due. So what we would typically do with our clients is we would take that, try and estimate that amount, put it with the 2016 liability, and that way you've got that big cushion in there. And then when you file the return, you just make sure you check the box saying apply any overpayment to my 2017 refund, and that way you avoid the penalties and interest, which is the hammer.
It's a big deal.
Oh, it's huge.
All right, from the 847, can you deduct investment management fees if the fees are taken from an IRA account?
No.
You cannot.
No.
So the management fees are just part of what you're on the hook for.
That's right. Because it's about making you whole. You don't have to pick up the income from your IRA or your 401k or anything like that. So any fees that are associated with it.
How about medical expenses and prescriptions? Can you combine those?
Oh.
And what's the magic number for the year? Because I know you always kind of come close to that number, whether you have a root canal or whatever it might be. Right. But what is that number?
It's getting harder. That's an excellent question, and the answer is yes, medical, and it's beyond that. A lot of times our clients forget about dental, about medical, right. All of that counts, therapies, these sorts of things, prescriptions, that all counts towards a deductible medical expense. That's the good news. The bad news is it's got to exceed a certain threshold, and that threshold is 10%. Of your adjusted gross income, which is basically the starting point for your Illinois return. It's the top of your second page of your return. It's pretty much if you have health insurance, it's difficult to get a deductible insurance unless you had just one of those one-off years where you just had an awful lot happen.
Right.
The home office deductions are usually a red flag, more so now than ever?
Without a doubt, because as a general rule, there's really two ways. The IRS obviously won't say what they're going to pick to flag for an audit. A lot of times, they're understaffed, so there's certain things that the computer will pick up. If you transpose numbers on a Social Security number, if you have a W-2, so there's those sorts of human errors. In addition, anything that's often abused, it's about highest and best use. The richer someone is, the more likely they are to be audited, because that's where there's more bang for the buck. Earned income credits, high charitable deductions, and then a home office are oftentimes very much abused. So, again, just like anything else, if you're entitled to it, you should do it. It shouldn't be to scare you off. But in terms of support, don't hogs get slaughtered, pigs live long lives. If you've got it, don't try and write off your entire electric bill. If you're using 10% of your home, you want to be able to
follow the rules.
Know the rules and then follow the rules. That's sure. that's the important thing.
Well, I would think too, if you're going to try a home office deduction, that's a little more advanced than changing your oil on your car, and you should hire a professional.
I would say so. Although I know how to do a home office deduction, I can't change my own oil. But for someone else, and as a general rule, it's painting with a very broad brush. But if to the extent that anyone chooses to listen to me personally, I try and in most cases I try and dissuade my clients from filing the home office deduction.
It goes to a larger question too, the AMT, the alternative minimum tax, three of my least favorite letters. Have we gotten to a point where it doesn't make sense to go through the old falderall of doing all the deductions and all the lead work because the AMT is going to kick in anyway?
Well, it's frustrating because the AMT basically gets you up to the easy way to think about it is that it'll get you, if you're paying less than 28%, you have a lot of income from long-term capital gains or qualified dividends, the lower tax rates, it'll start disallowing certain deductions, but not all of them. So, some of the bigger
ticket items. So it's worth it to go through the effort.
It's worth it to go through the effort because certain things are not eliminated. It's not just the AMT. Once you reach certain income levels, even without AMT, they start to phase out some of your itemized deductions, your personal exemptions that everyone gets. If you don't have to be very high up on the income scale to get very little benefit out of any of that.
Let's see. From the 219, stocks were sold. No record of the brokerage for the taxes. Or for the basis, I'm sorry. Mm. Stocks purchased in the early 80s. How do you handle an old stock sale like that? Do you go estimates?
As best you can. The conservative estimate is zero because that it's definitely, if you sold it for $10 a share, you good luck trying to support an $11 a share. A loss is going to be difficult. We always say, depending on how much we're talking about and if it's a publicly traded stock, you can get a real good handle on what it was.
What Google's for.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's all you can do. And what's the hammer on something like that? You can only do your best guesstimate. And if the IRS comes back and says, well, you claimed a dollar and it should have been zero, all right, well, that. But if you're making your best estimate at the truth, that's at the end of the day, that'll allow you to sleep well.
224, my father passed away in January. Do I have to file an income tax form this year? For last year's taxes.
It passed a,
he died in January.
Of 17?
Yes. Okay. So would someone in the family have to file taxes for him against his estate for 16?
Yes. Yes. And depending on when he died in 17, a final 1040 might be required for 2017 as well. It might not have anything going on in it, but yeah, because I mean, realistically, when the ball dropped on 12/31/16, he was still alive, and that's the finish line for the 2016 return.
Sorry about your loss, and sorry about the IRS.
Yeah,
they're just doing their job. They're just doing their job.
That's right.
1099s, a small number of them were not filed. What do you do about making up for 1099s that missed a deadline?
If you're on the receiving end of it, you can estimate or depending on how much it is, you know, if it's.
I think this is from somebody who should have issued a 1099 and didn't do it.
Oh, well, then you've got a, you know, better late than never, because you're issuing a 1099 either to an entity or to an individual that it needs it on, you know, downstream from you. And if they, depending on if you communicated that to them or not, file it now and you can check a corrected box. It's a big deal. You really shouldn't file them late. It happens. So you'd file it and you'd try to get it to the people.
But you're messing up their taxes. That's the message.
Probably.
Yeah. And when can you deduct attorney fees, if ever?
You can deduct attorney's fees when they are related to tax defense or tax planning. So a good example is, you know, if you were drawing up or if you were suing because you slipped and fell in the grocery store, that's not a tax deduction. But a perfect example, one that's almost tongue-in-cheek, but it's true, is, you know, everyone knows Al Capone, what got him in ultimately was famous failure to pay income tax on even illegal activities. His attorney's fees in defending himself against that tax conviction, you know, would have been a deduction.
And another fine listener, we're way late here, but another fine listener, I just started selling Unique. It's a makeup.
Oh.
Can I deduct the makeup bought? That's a general question. I think it would apply to a lot of people who are doing home-based businesses.
Sure.
You can. Your supplies are business expenses, right?
Without a doubt. I mean, as long as, you know, you would want to have good record keeping, but again, you would, if you're putting it on your Schedule C, and you didn't incorporate or you don't have an LLC, your income would need to be claimed, and your proper business expenses would be deductible for sure.
We need to start this in January and just have him live here.
Oh my God! Right. put a little corner office in the studio here.
Tell us again where Sikich is.
Sikich is in Naperville, Illinois. We have 22 offices nationwide, but our headquarters is right in Naperville, Illinois.
All right, and I know you're plenty busy, but you want to throw a phone number out in case anybody's interested in help.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. 630-364-7968, and it's Sikich LLP.
Really appreciate the help. And I know these are a lot of basic questions that are routine, but these are things that we all need to know and we don't know.
Well, my pleasure, and I prefer the routine questions to the real difficult ones.
There you go. Thanks, bud.